Tanis Perk Dalid Mishnah Vav 4:6, and now the Mishnah will discuss the well-known fast days of Shiva Sarba Tammuz, the 17th day of the month of Tammuz, as well as Tisha B'Av, the 9th day of Av, which, as we'll see in the Mishnah, commemorate, amongst other things, the ultimate destruction of the temple. So, more about that here. Here in Mishnah Vav, it says, Chamisha Devarim Eiro Es Avosenu B'Shiva Sarba Tammuz. There were five different calamities that happened to our forebears on the 17th of Tammuz, V'chamisha B'tisha B'av, and another five that happened on the day of Tisha B'av, the 9th of Av. All of these are reasons why we commemorate those 2 days with fasting, quasi-mourning, and tshuva. And the mission says, first of all, what happened in Tammuz? B'shivasar B'tammuz, on the 17th day of Tammuz, Nishtabru Haluchos. First of all, the luchos, the stone tablets that Moshe Rabbeinu brought down from Har Sinai after going up and being there for 40 days, he went up on the 7th day of Sivan after revelation of Mount Sinai. He came down 40 days later on the 17th of Tammuz. He saw the golden calf and he smashed the two tablets, the luchos abris, that Hashem had given him up on Har Sinai. And that was a tremendous loss. Much talked about the difference in the Luchos Rishonos and Shneos, the first and second set of tablets, in the various, you know, Hashkafa, Sfarim, and others Sfarim. So in any case, that was a great, tremendous tragedy that we lost it, and that's the first reason that things that happened that were terrible on the 17th of Tammuz. Second of all, Uvatel HaTamid, the Korban Tamid ceased to be offered. Now, this happened because Jerusalem was under siege, and there were no more sheep to be brought, and therefore that mechanism by which we fulfill our daily obligation to Hashem to bring the daily offering and achieve kapara and establish relationship between us and Hashem was put on hold, which was a tremendous calamity. Now, exactly what when this happened historically is actually not clear at all. And from the Rambam, it seems that it happened, it was in the first temple period, whereas according to Rashi, it seems that he's talking about the second temple period. Whatever the case, it's our tradition that on this day, there was a time when the Tamid stopped being offered, and that therefore is reason also to mourn and do tshuva. In addition, V'havka ha'ir, the city was split open, literally, meaning the walls of Jerusalem were breached. Jerusalem was under siege. We're talking here about the Second Temple period by the Romans, the siege that was initially done by Vespasian, and then completed ultimately by Titus. So Vespasian began the siege, and which lasted a couple of years. And at the 17th of Tammuz, the walls of Jerusalem were breached, which really is the beginning of the end, and that's probably the most famous reason why we fast on Shiva Sarba Tammuz. The reason why it's quote unquote the most famous is because it begins that 3-week process that brings us from the breaching of the walls and Shiva Sarba Tammuz up to the 9th of Av, when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. The walls were not breached on the 17th of Tammuz in Bais Rishon time, at least not according to the Bavli, although Yerushalmi does have a suggestion that indeed it was also. Visaraf Apostomos es HaTorah. Apostomos, who was some Hellenized minister, we're talking about in the period preceding the Hasmonean revolt, the Hanukkah story. Whoever he was, Apostomos, he went into the Beis Hamikdash. He got the Sefer Torah that was written by Ezra. Ezra Sofer, who led the Jews in the rebuilding of the temple at the beginning of the Second Temple period, he wrote a Sefer Torah, which was extremely precise and was used as like the benchmark and codex against which they would write subsequent Sifrei Torah. So that was burned and therefore lost, and a tremendous loss to the Jews, the fidelity of the Masorah, the tradition, and so on. And finally, Vehe Mid Selim Behechel, and he set up a statue, like an image, meaning like an idol, in the Hechel, the sanctuary of the Beis Hamikdash, which certainly is unacceptable in the extreme, and therefore another reason for the fasting on the 17th of Tammuz. There is another version of this Mishnah in the Yerushalmi, which instead of saying veheemid, and he set up, it's v'hu'amad, that one word, hu'amad. So if it's it was established, so then that would be a reference to not a posthumous putting up the statue, but rather Menashe, King Menashe, in the first temple period, he put up, according to Yerushalmi, in that version, he put up some sort of idol in the Beis HaMikdash, which certainly would be a reason for fasting. Those are the five things, therefore, that happened on Shivas or Batamas. But Tisha B'Av, on the ninth day of the month of Av, we have five other things. First of all, Nigzar Alavoseinu Shlo Yikansu La'aretz. As we see in Parshas Shalach and Sefer Bamidbar, the Jews, the spies came back, 10 of them, with a bad report. The Jews said, we're going back to Egypt. They gave up hope of going to Eretz Yisrael. They didn't trust in Hashem, reject the land. And in consequence, Hashem said, and they cried for nothing about this supposed inability, Efes, as the Pasuk says, this sort of impossibility of entering the land. And therefore, Hashem decreed that that whole generation would not enter the land of Israel. And that certainly is the beginning of terrible things happening. This sort of is what was the first event which marks Av, the month of Av, as being a month that designated for bad things to happen, Poronius. And therefore, as we'll see later in the Mishnah, we reduce our joy in the month of Av, more on that in a second. In any case, so the story there from biblical times, already from the story of the generation of that lived in the Midbar, Doradea, the people came out of Egypt, they couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael, and that was decreed on the day of Tisha B'Av. Second of all, V'charav Habayis B'Rishona U'V'Shnia, both Batei HaMikdash, both temples were destroyed on the 9th of Av. The first one by the Babylonians, the king, the emperor at the time, Nebuchadnezzar, and it was the emperor of Babel, of Babylon, Babylonia, but it's actually the Nebuzaradan, it was the one who was the general who did the destruction. That happened in the year conventionally given as 586 BCE. And second of all, you have the second base of English being destroyed. That base of English was destroyed. Usually they give it that for 70 of the common era, like 70. And that was done by Titus, who followed up from the Vespasian, who had led the siege that we talked about a minute ago. So Titus, his son, completed the destruction. Beyond that, Vinilkada Beitar, the city of Beitar was conquered. And the next one is Vinechushair, the city was plowed. This is a reference to Jerusalem. Now, for reasons that I don't know, these two stanzas are set out of order. What we're referring to here is the period after the destruction of the Second Temple. So that, let's say, happened in the year 70, what they call the first Jewish war, the rebellion against Romans, ended by the year, say, 73 of the Common Era, because there was more places still holding out. Most notably, there's the city of Gamla in the north, held out till about 72 or so. In any case, after that, so Jerusalem was destroyed and essentially flattened to rubble. And so much so that the fifth item on our list here, that it says that the city or the Heichel was the Nechrasha, it was plowed over. So Rishon learned that it says, since the Mishnah says Nechrasha'ir, it refers the entire city of Jerusalem was essentially plowed over, meaning flattened and raised to nothingness. There are others, the Rambam understands it's the Heichel and the area around. Others say it's the Rosh is the Heichel, the temple area. Whatever the case, Jerusalem certainly became essentially uninhabited, which is catastrophic and was a terrible setback, obviously, to the morale of the Jewish people, in addition to the destruction of the temple. Now, it stayed uninhabited. Around the year 130 of the Common Era, so something like around close to 60 years later, under Hadrian, Emperor Hadrian, Roman Emperor, he put on a series of decrees in an attempt to sort of quash and wipe out Judaism altogether in Israel, known as the Hadrianic persecutions. These were terrible. Famous, I think, in Jewish collective memory is the prohibition of learning Torah and Rabbi Akiva, who ultimately was killed in this era, around the year 130. Now, the plowing of the Jerusalem, reference to the Mishnah, was is attributed to Turnus Rufus. Turnus Rufus of Russia, he was a local, you know, governor, whoever he was, out of the Romans here in Israel, under Emperor Hadrian. The Hadrianic persecutions were terrible, and among other things, they, besides for the decrees against the Judaism, they also began to rebuild Jerusalem anew under a new name, Ilia Capitolina. The word Capitolina, reference to the Roman god Jupiter, like the Greek god Zeus, same character, and it was dedicated to him. So we're basically rebuilding a new city. It's like a Roman colony. Jews are forbidden to live there, and it was dedicated to like the Roman god Jupiter. And by the way, I should point out that in Washington D.C. we have our capital, Capitol Hill. You probably noticed capital is spelled not the usual way of capital, like capital city, but capital, C-A-P-I-T-O-L. That O-L is the same capital as Capitolina of Ilia Capitolina's fame, meaning it also was actually dedicated or referenced. The Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. is actually also a reference to Jupiter, believe it or not. In any case, putting that aside, so this is a tremendous setback for the Jews, and the plowing of Jerusalem, the creation of this Ilia Capitolina, and so on, prompt the Jews to rebel again. I'll call it a second time. There was a minor rebellion in the year 117, but to put that aside, the second major rebellion happened in the year roughly 132 and is known to us as the Bar Kokhba Rebellion. Bar Kokhba, not his birth name, but it means the son of a star, reference him being thought by some or many to be the Mashiach. And in fact, that second rebellion by Bar Kokhba was partially successful, so much so that they sort of minted coins and thought they were just like the Mashiach was coming, and they're reconquering and retaking over Jerusalem and starting up like a third base of Mikdash was headed their way. But unfortunately, they were very wrong, and already by the year 135, the entire rebellion was brutally quashed, and essentially all the Jews involved were killed, and everyone in the capital city, the fortress of the Bar Kokhba and his people, the city of Beitar, essentially were all killed. There's extraordinary language in the Chazal, Midrashim, and the Gemara about just how savage and bloody the deaths of the people of Beitar was, and how many people died. But it's clear that hundreds of thousands of people were killed in this revolt, essentially everyone in Beitar destroyed, killed. And when the Mishnah refers to Vanilka de Beitar, the city of Beitar was conquered, what it means is that the entire rebellion, the hopes of the future, and all the people of Beitar were killed and dashed, which actually began the beginning of what might well be literally the darkest period of Jewish history in terms of the Jewish psyche, the thought that Hashem had chaslila abandoned us and that there was sort of no Jewish future. It was a terrible time. And the Mishnah, therefore, is referring to Vanilka de Beitar, referring to the capture and destruction of the city of Beitar, that second revolt being quashed, everyone being killed, and sort of no, very little hope for the future at the time. And Venechsha Ha'ir, the city being plowed over, that's a reference to Jerusalem, which happened before the destruction of Beitar, and the you know, leveling of Jerusalem, making it unlivable and having no habitation there, and later no Jews allowed to live there. Finally, the Mishnah says, it's a new point here, and according to many of yourselves, this sentence of the Mishnah actually is the beginning of the next Mishnah. Mishenichnas Av Mema'atin Besimcha. When Av arrives, when it enters, meaning the month of Av begins, so then joy, Simcha, is reduced, and which really means it's disallowed. Things that bring joy, and actually we just explored some of those things back in the first paragraph, we're talking about the fast of the tiniest, things like construction, home improvements in your house, make your house nicer, planting trees, the special trees they had for weddings, getting married, engagement parties, all forbidden during this period, starting from Rosh Chodesh Av, and it will actually end basically at the end of the 10th of Av, not the whole month, but for the first part, through Tisha B'Av, and the next day, the 10th of Av, at least half that day. So that is the din. We memat besimcha, the things that bring a special amount of joy and sort of luxuriating and so on, are disallowed as we prepare ourselves and recognize the loss of not having the Beis HaMikdash and the destruction of certainly the most recently the second Beis HaMikdash.